Me to the book of 1 Corinthians tonight, if you will. I'd like to read a passage from the 9th chapter of Paul's epistle to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 9, and we'll begin reading at verse 24. And read down to the end of the chapter, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one, only one, receiveth the prize? And Paul admonishes us, so run that ye may obtain. But then he wants to say a little more about it. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. Interesting word there. Temperate in all things. Now they, the athletes of this world, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we who are saved, an incorruptible. Verse 26, little Paul, 55, 60 years old when he wrote it. Paul said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, and so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You may be seated. We've read those four verses. That concludes chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. I think with the cooperation of the Lord, I have deliberately chosen this text for tonight. Probably of all the nights in a camp meeting, Monday, everybody ought to be able to make Monday or Tuesday unless you're working. Wednesday, churches come. That's easy enough. Thursday and Friday. Probably the night that would be the least easily skipped, and I'm just guessing, would be Saturday night. And we can look around, and I am not being critical. You look around, and you can see that there's some empty benches. Nothing wrong with that. There's some folks that didn't make it. They'll be in church tomorrow. They'll be in their places serving God in the morning. Thank the Lord for them. I think God's got the people here tonight. I'll need an amen. That might have put a little extra effort. Amen. In wanting to be here. Amen. You gave up eating out, maybe. Maybe you can eat out afterward. You delayed or rearranged going to the store or whatever else might have been done. You said, I'm going to camp meeting tonight. I want to hear that choir sing, and I want to hear the Word of God taught or expounded. You're here. I'm bragging on y'all. You're here because you wanted to be. Amen. You're here because you put in that extra effort. And it is to this crowd. It is to you as a body of believers. Paul writes this text. Hear me now. This text is not for everybody. How am I going to put this? There's some things in these verses you do not have to do to get saved. Far as I know, all you got to do to get saved, and I'll appreciate an amen here, is get washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen, preacher.
Paul's writing here for somebody that wants to go a little further. Do a little more. There's been bragging on the Lord in song all night. Paul's writing to some folks who say he's worth every bit of effort I can give him. And I'm assuming that's this crowd here this evening. And so we're just going to wade into these verses. Paul does the strangest thing here. He picks up a worldly don't know what other word to use. He picks up a worldly event. We call it today the Olympics. They would have called it, particularly here in Corinth, the Isthmian Games. I-S-T-H-M-I-N. The Isthmian Games. Just a bunch of fighting, boxing, bunch of running. They had chariot races. They threw the javelin and the discus and the shot put. They wrestled. Just that kind of carrying on. And I don't know if I'll say this or not. They drank when they went to those things. They caroused and acted ungodly when they got down there. But Paul sees something in this event that parallels the Christian life. And he lifts this illustration out of the garbage dump of Greek culture. He's going to hold it up to us tonight as an example of how to better serve the Lord. I reckon God can clean something up and sanctify it and use it, don't you?
Amen.
That's certainly what He did for us when He saved us. The word for church, ecclesia. The Holy Ghost got that word. It had almost become obsolete in New Testament days. Matthew 16, when it's first used. The Holy Ghost went out to the garbage dump of the Greek vocabulary. Got the word ecclesia. It's the word they use for their labor unions, for their trade unions. It's the word that they use for their social clubs and their secular gatherings. And the Holy Ghost picked it up, and the Holy Ghost dusted it off, and the Holy Ghost sanctified it. What does it mean, preacher? I'll tell you what it means. You'll holler amen. A body of called out individuals who believe the same thing.
Amen.
Who share the same goals.
Amen.
Who have the same values, thank God.
Amen.
He sanctified the word. That's what he's doing in these verses. 1 Corinthians 9, verse number 24. If you'll look there with me, please. Paul asks a question. Know ye not that they which run in a race... Talking about a race. The word that he uses there for race, it's spelled S-T-A-D-I-A, stadia. It gives us the word stadium, baseball stadium, that is used yet today. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? Everybody that qualifies lines up on the starting line and they run all, but only one. Only one receives the prize. And it looks to me like Paul's thinking maybe the Christian life, I'll need an amen, might be a race. That's probably why he wrote over in Hebrews 12. Let's lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And let's run with patience the race that's set before. Anybody in a race tonight for the glory of God? The idea, that's the motif, that's the metaphor that is being used. And those Greek runners, when the Greek games began, I read there were 800 contestants who could qualify. Maximum number, 800 contestants. I'd like to make an announcement. God's got a lot more than that in His race. 800 contestants. Everybody, just anybody, couldn't get in this race. Did you know before you could get in this race, I hope you'll smile, you had to have the right bloodline flowing in your veins. They didn't let foreigners run in that race. They had to be Greeks. They had to have that. Your mama and your daddy and your grandpa had to have that Greek blood. And you can't get in the Lord's race. You hadn't got the right blood flowing through you too. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb. Qualify and said that you could not run in this race until you had an interview with the judge. And this judge is called the umpire, very strict and precise. Said you had to have an interview with him. You had to get his permission to get in the race. You can't get in the Christian race without meeting the judge either, thank God. Oh, he's the judge of everything, but he was our Savior the day we got in the race, the day he washed us in his precious blood. Y'all see the parallels that are there. said when you got in the race, and I need to go on and deal with the issue at hand in this first verse of my text, said when you got in the race, said the first thing they did, they took you down to the training room. They had training rooms. Said they took you down to the training room and said, I hope you'll get it. They rubbed you down with oil real good. They had all them runners down. They had all them boxers and wrestlers down. Thank God, when we got in the race, when we started loving Him, we had an experience with the Holy Ghost of God. Y'all see that, don't you? Said the training was right rough. Said they had to train 10 months. 10 months. And this is just out of the documented history that is extant over the issue. Said you'd have a coach. Said that coach would tell you every move to make. If you're really going to live for God, you're going to have a coach. Now, I reckon the coach is a good Holy Ghost when it comes to an omnipotent coach. But up there in that pulpit every Sunday, you got a pretty good coach there too. Sunday school teachers make pretty good coaches as well. And said that coach would get right rough on you. Listen to it. Said he'd tell you when to go to bed and when to get up. Said he'd tell you what you could say and what you couldn't. Said he'd get right mean. Said if you acted up, I don't know how you're going to take this, he'd slap you upside the head. I've had the Holy Ghost slap me upside the head a time or two. How about y'all? God does know how to chasten and discipline his young'uns. I can hear it now. Ain't no Baptist preacher going to tell me how to live. Ain't not going to tell me I got to be here at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Ain't not going to tell me how I'm going to direct every ear. I got an announcement. You better not get in the race then. Amen. Training for the race. But, well, anyway, back to our verse, and I shouldn't have left it. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? Everybody that qualifies are running. But one receiveth the prize. This is neat. The word there for prize is linked to that word umpire. Only one receiveth the prize. And the word for receive, it's laquat. It's a little old verb. It means to snatch. It means to fetch. It means to go out and get it because you want it real. There's a lot of competition in that Greek race. On your mark, get set and go, and they take off a running with every fiber of their being. They're in it to win the prize. Sort of sounds like the Christian life. Now, wait a minute. There are a lot of folks that are saved that ain't running the race too good. There are a lot of folks running the race that are out of bounds. There are a lot of folks running the race that are lazy. There are a lot of folks trying to run the race that are half-hearted. You don't have to run the race like Paul's talking about to go to heaven, but you got to run the race like Paul's talking about if you're going to get a crown at the end of it. I'm talking about doing a little more for God, going a little further in your Christian life. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. Then Paul said to us, so run that you might obtain. Now I got to stop a minute. I think the Christian race is better than the Olympic Games. I think we got a better umpire. I think we got a better coach. I think we got more of the blessings. And here's the thing. Now get this. Don't miss this. In the Greek race, everybody's racing, but only one wins the prize. There can only be one winner. I'm going to hope a good amen here. In the Christian race, everybody can be a winner. In the Christian race, everybody can win a prize. In the Christian race, you can win that prize for faithfulness. You can win that prize for diligence. You can win that prize for sharing the gospel. You can win that prize, if need be, for laying down your life for the cause of our Savior. Preachers, you can win that prize for faithfully pastoring that flock. Everybody can get in on it, Hallelujah. That makes it better right there, Hallelujah. You say, well, I don't see how that makes it better. Watch. In the Greek race, only one person's going to win the prize. You know what that automatically makes everybody else in the race your enemy. You got to outrun them. You got to outpace them. You got to outdistance them. If they fall down, it don't bother you a bit. That's one less man in the way. You got a better chance at the prize. In fact, there were Greek runners who not only didn't worry if they fell down, they might help them fall down if they could get by with it, stick a leg out and trip them up. Could I say something about the Christian race? We're all in this thing together. Hallelujah. You're not my enemy and I'm not yours. I want you to finish strong. You want me to finish strong. I like the Christian race we're running. Glory to God. Y'all see that? So run that ye may obtain. Y'all all right? We're ready for the next verse in the text. And that's going to be verse number 25. And by the way, and you're doing it again tonight, and I appreciate you're latching on to every word. A lot of camp meetings, and I don't preach in a whole lot of them, but I preach in some. They're just folks coming and going all the time. In and out. And y'all are sticking and you're staying and you're listening. A lot of you writing down. I appreciate that. There's something about my preaching that affects people's kidneys. Everywhere I go, they either get thirsty or they got to go to the bathroom. I mean, it's amazing. Y'all are either real interested in this, or you got a bottle of water by your feet, or you got good kidneys. I don't know what it is. But I commend you for staying. I appreciate. Amen. I appreciate the way you're listening. I really do. Verse 25. Every man that striveth for the mastery, every man that's trying to run the foot race, every man that's in the boxing ring, every man that's in the wrestling match, every man that's trying to drive the chariot to be a victor, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate, temperate in all things. That sounds like Paul suspects we Christians ought to be temperate in all things. That means we got to study the word temperate. It uses a little prefix in, that means inside. And it uses a little noun, kratos, K-R-A-T-O. It means strength. It literally means strength down inside. And it equates, it's synonymous with this English word. I can't wait to tell you. Self-control. Self-control. Now it's going to get quiet, so just expect it. That means self-control when you're sitting at the table eating. Oh, I've killed the service again. That means self-control when it comes to sleep. That means self-control when it comes self-control. A lot of us Christians not trying to re-preach last night's message need a little self-control with our tongues. Go ahead and say amen. A lot of us need some self-control with our wallets, tithing our income to God. Can I get an amen right there? A lot of us need some self-control being faithful down at God's house, not being gone every other Sunday, just sticking in there and staying with it. Can I get an amen? Amen. Self-control. Said he that striveth for the mastery. If you're really in this, if you... I don't know how much self-control you got to have to go to heaven. Just to go to heaven. I rather think this, and you done amened it once, so I'm going to word it a little different. I really think all you got to do to go to heaven is have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm not going to add works to that in any way at all. It's by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. Jesus paid it all. But if I'm going to run the race, if I'm going to win the prize, if I'm going to have a crown to lay down before my Savior, I'm going to have to be temperate in the things in which I serve the Lord. Amen. I'm preaching this to the Saturday night crowd. Remember that. I think there are a bunch of you that are willing to do anything you think you could do to please your Father in heaven. Well, every man that striveth for the mastery is self-control, temperate in all things. Now, striveth for the mastery. Oh, what an interesting word. Striveth for the mastery. The word the Holy Ghost would have given Paul is what we call in English now a loan word. We borrow it letter for letter from the Greek language. And I'm going to spell it. When I get through spelling it, I want y'all to tell me what a spell. Striveth for the mastery. A-G-O-N-I-Z-E. Y'all don't spell real good in Burke County, do you? I'm going to do it again. You leaders, just speak out now. A-G-O-N-I-Z-E. I want to hear it a little more loud than I'm not getting. A-G-O-N-I-Z-E. Brother Bagwell, don't you stand up there and preach to me that living for Jesus might involve some agonizing. Don't you tell me that there's some things I'm going to have to blood, sweat, and tears in it. Don't you tell me I'm going to have to work hard, my fingers to the bones, and wear myself out, serve. I'll just say this, he's worthy of every bit of that, bless your heart. It's not always easy to get up and dress two or three young'uns on Sunday morning and get them to Sunday school by 9:45. Boy, that was a weak amen right there, wasn't it? It's not easy to be faithful to camp meeting. It's not easy to pray for the man of God. It's not easy to go out on visitation. Amen, Brother Bagwell. Go ahead and preach. If it gets too quiet, I'll just amen myself. It won't bother me a bit. There is some agonizing if I'm going to serve God to the best of my ability. It's not always easy. It's not always the simplest thing in the world. But oh, how we ought to be willing to agonize. He that striveth for the mastery, he's temperate in all things. Wait a minute. Verse 25, look at this. Now they do it. Those Greek athletes, they do it to grab, seize, win, obtain a corruptible crown. But we, this is a better race, but we, an incorruptible crown. I'll talk about that a minute if I can. They're trying to get an incorruptible. And Paul says, and I need an amen here, our crown's better. In fact, the New Testament does not simply mention one crown for me and you. It mentions five that I know of. The crown of glory, the incorruptible crown, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life. There may be some more. We got more crowns than they do. Hallelujah. Theirs are corruptible. Ours is incorruptible. The word corruptible merely means it will wilt. It won't last. Let me tell you about their crown. If you're up north in Greece, which would be truly the Olympic Games, the crown was an olive branch. They'd go out to an olive tree, cut off a little old limb, wrap it up, weave it together, and stick it on your head for 10 months training. Sweating, risking your life, absolutely and by the way, if you ran in the Southern Games, honestly, down at Corinth, all you got was a pine branch wrapped around your head. That sounds like a South, don't it? Amen. Who would go through all that to get a pine bole wrapped around your head? They did it to get a corruptible crown, a withering crown. But oh, I need to tell you this. Every Greek runner, and that's all he's talked about so far, there's a run. He's going to talk about more athletes than ever run. That won a crown, here's their corruptible crown. All it was, olive branch or a pine tree. Not pine tree, pine branch right around here. Well, you know what I meant. That's what crown means, Stephanos, to wrap around, wrapped around your head. Those that would do that, not only did they get a corruptible pine branch, wrapped around their head. Now I'm just going to watch you. They never had to pay taxes again the rest of their lives. Y'all don't pay taxes in North Carolina? They never had to pay a cent for a child's education the rest of their lives. The government would take care of the child's education. Whoever won that race, his name would be engraved in a monument. And the monument would be built and posted up there in the Parthenon. And for all the futurity, all the future, they'd be memorialized. They'd be looked up to as the winner of that race with their name etched on the side. They would be honored again. All right, here we go. They'd get a lavish meal with the king. A lavish meal with the king. They'd get all that. And Paul called it a corruptible crown. But he said, we're going to earn an incorruptible crown. I'm going to a place not paying taxes, can't compare to streets of gold, a mansion over yonder, no more pain, no more crying. Somebody holler amen. I'm going to a place my name won't be etched on the walls of the city, but thank God he'll be the king over there. And you're talking about going to a banquet? I'm going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. We're going to get an incorruptible crown. Ours will never wilt or fade away. We run that race faithfully. Y'all okay? Let's go a little further into our text. We were ready for verse 26. Verse 26. And this beats all. Watch, this is so sweet. Paul said, I've been talking about this race. Said, I like the idea of getting in this thing. And he says, I therefore so run. That's just cute. Paul, 55 or 60 years old, says, I'm getting in it. He's on the starting line ready to run the race. Therefore, so run I. Now, what I'm about to tell you, I can't prove it by the Bible. There is an ancient document, first century, called the Epistle of Paul. Whether it's accurate, I can't promise because it's not inspired. The only book I can guarantee ain't got no mistakes is the Bible you're holding in your hand. But nonetheless, the Epistle of Paul, and here's what makes it singular. It describes how Paul looked. I don't want to tell you. It says he was not tall. I read an article the other day. It said almost all leaders, successful leaders, are tall. Most of the CEOs of the Fortune 500 companies are tall. The greatest and most successful pastors, no offense to anybody now, were tall. The most influential politicians in any given land are tall. Paul was short. Amen. Stubby short. On top of that, the appeal describes him, this document describes him as being bow-legged. Short, bow-legged, hook-nosed. Said he was not attractive to look at all. Said he had a squeaky little voice. And said he would preach and it'd get on your nerves. The Corinthians did say about him, quote, King James, his speech is contemptible. And his bodily presence is weak. Paul didn't look like a preacher. Paul didn't look like a leader. He's a little banded, bow-legged Jew, 55, 60 years old. Have you ever seen a 60-year-old preacher try to run anywhere? It ain't pretty, I'll tell you that. Making enemies of my best friends in the house, I guess. I don't know.
And Paul gets up on that starting line and Paul says, get out of the way. You young men, get aside. Here comes the apostle. I'm lining up on this thing, and if God will beat my helper, get me a good amen, I'm on a cut loose running for Jesus. And all I'm saying tonight, if Paul's in on that thing, if Abraham was in on that thing, if my Lord's already won the race on the other side, I want to get in on it too. Hallelujah. I therefore so run. Well, what else does he say? I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I got to cover this quick. Little adverb. Adelos, A-D-E-L-O-S is the word. And it means with clear vision, not with foggy eyes. And I can't preach it, but I can drop it out there and y'all can apply. He said, if I'm going to run the race, I'm going to keep my eyes on the finish line. If I'm going to run the race, every now and then, only name it, I'm going to glance over at the coach. If I'm going to run the race, my brothers are around me, I'm going to egg them on. I'm going to help them. I'll be a cheerleader as well as a race runner. I want to do everything I can to speak words that will edify and upbuild to the glory of Almighty God. Paul said, I'm in this race, but I want to be able to see clearly. Thank God we don't have to run in the smoke and the smog. The Holy Ghost will give us good vision in this. And by the way, if you're running clearly, and if you're running where you're, I don't know if I was, you'll probably be in the right kind of church. Say amen there. You'll want to hear the right kind of preaching out of the right kind of Bible, and you'll want to do the right kind of living in the process. Amen. Therefore, I so run not as uncertainly. Now watch what it does. I'm in the middle of verse 26. Hurrying as fast as I can. He switches metaphors. As plain as it can be, they call it the motif, M-O-T-I-F, the motif, the context of this passage. He is no longer a runner. Look at it. So fight I. And ladies and gentlemen, the word that he uses gives us the English word pugilist. He literally says this, little old bow-legged Paul. Run the race, tried to be faithful. He now puts on boxing gloves. Because the word here does not mean wrestle. The word here means to box. So, fight. I wish more of you were smiling right now. I guess the sight of me and my muscular build has got you so scared you can't smile. I'm just illustrating. I ain't coming for nobody. So fight I'm going to be, could I make an announcement tonight? If we're going to live for God, if we're going to sell out to Jesus, we are in a fight. Amen. May I say it? I said it last night. The enemy's not that brother sitting a pew or two in front of you, behind you. The enemy's the devil. The enemy's hell. The enemy's the world. The enemy's the flesh. And oh, how we ought to get in the battle. So fight I. And Paul knows what he's saying here. If you'll just stay with me a minute. The culture, the background of those fights. Preacher, when they trained those young men to fight in those Greek games, they didn't have fancy boxing gloves like we did. They just took strips of leather and in a homemade fashion and made their own gloves. And it is easily documented. You can go home tonight and document it. They were allowed to put rocks, chunks of metal, or anything else they wanted to inside those thongs of leather. And if they could hide it, and if the judge couldn't see it, he didn't have to care if it's there anyway. It was all right to box. They did not have round one, bell, round two, bell, and so forth. They fought till the finish. The documents say they literally fought to the death. They said a boxer would go out there to box his opponent, and the last, preacher, the last thing he'd do before he'd go out there to box, said he would call on the name of his God. That might be Zeus, That might be Jove. That might be Minerva. That might be Thor. That might be Nike. He'd call on his God. And he'd say, God, I see the enemy. Help me knock, I'll put it in Georgia term, help me knock the lard out of him. Help me knock the tar out of him. Help me to knock him in the middle of the day after tomorrow. Give me the victory, I pray, in the name of the pantheon of Greece. I want to tell you something tonight. We're fighting the devil. And not a one of us has got the power within our ability to whip him. But I do have a God, hallelujah. I have a God greater than Thor. I have a God greater than Minerva. I have a God greater than Diana. My God's a living God. He can give me the victory. Hallelujah. He said, I want a box, and I want a box to the glory of God. We are in a war. We are in a spiritual battle. Let's see. Verse 26. So fight I not as one that beateth the air. Are y'all still listening? And time's about to get away from me, so y'all pray I can get this thing moving a little faster here. These, let me read it again. He said, not as one that literally flails against the air. Probably a reference to, preacher just said it, shadow boxing. You know, you're just sparring with nothing. Here's what Paul said. Paul said, if I'm going out there and if I'm going to box, I hope you'll smile. I intend on hitting something. I ain't going out there for my health. I'm not going out there just to exercise. I'm not going out there for some aerobic reason. I mean on hitting the devil slap between the eyes. I want him to know Paul was out there fighting to the glory of God, and we ought to adopt the same attitude. Too many church services, the devil's not disturbed. Hey, that day Jesus preached in the temple, and there's a man sitting back there. He'd been coming to that temple for years. But the day Jesus showed up, the day Jesus preached, there's an old demon that got tore up. He didn't get tore up the week before when the rabbi spoke. He hadn't been bothered for years. But you let the Son of God show up, the devil's going to get a little bit disturbed. Oh, I want to live that kind of life. I want to serve my Savior that way. I want to hit something when I'm fighting. Are y'all all right? Some of you are and some of you aren't, but ain't nothing I can do about that now. There's some of us here tonight. There's some old sin that's been tearing us up for weeks or months or years. And it comes around and we shadow box it a little bit. All right, you old sin, get out of here. Don't want to mess around with you. Paul said, you let that sin that so easily besets me come around. He said, I'm going to get as close to it as I can. And I'm going to haul off and I'm going to... Are y'all all right? This might be a little rough for you. I don't know. You saying, who's he mad at? I'm mad at the devil. That's who I'm mad at. I want us to live for God and serve God. Oh, wouldn't it be something if somebody would knock some sin upside the head tonight? It wasn't able to get up and come. Wouldn't it be something if somebody got the victory here this day? Said, I'll fight, I'll box, not as one that beateth the air. Y'all all right? Okay, we'll go a little further. Now we are in the last verse, verse 27. Paul says, I keep under my body. And I know you're saying, oh Lord, he's stopping again right there. I keep under my body. But this is too good. I'd be cheating if I passed over this clause. The word keep under my body. It's a jewel. It has in it the little word O-P-S, ops, little Greek noun. Brother Scott, you know this. It means one's eye, optician, optical, ops. Whatever I keep under my body, it's got something to do with your eye. And then the other part of the compound, Paul is tremendous with compound words. It means to haul off. and hit as hard as you can. And the expression I keep under my body literally says, and you can read it when you get home, Vine's Word Studies, A.T. Robertson, Wiest, Trench, they'll all give to. Paul says, I'll give myself, excuse me, a black eye. He says, Paul is going to live for God. Paul is going to do right. Paul's going to run this race. Paul's going to get in this fight. And if Paul don't, Paul says, I'm going to beat the daylights out of you. Now, boy, didn't that go over real good. You'd say to yourself, you're getting up and going to Sunday school from now on. You're back at 10 o'clock. And that'd probably go good a week or two. But then there'll be that Sunday, you've got a bit of a headache. Aren't we having fun tonight? There'll be that Sunday, you think, well, I'll just let it slide today. It's getting a little later, and you know, Paul wouldn't settle for that. Paul would say, Paul, whether you like it or not, you're getting up. And the old other nature of Paul would say, no, I think I'm just going to take it easy today. And Paul would say, I hope you'll smile. Do you see this? If you don't get up and get ready for Sunday school, I'm going to beat the tar out of you. Isn't that a dramatic word picture of how to live for Jesus? The preacher won't have to bawl you out. Your wife or husband won't have to tell you what you ought to be doing. Thank God the Holy Ghost can do it. And if I'll follow His leadership, get a little rough, I'm going to preach it whether you like it or not. I'll get a little rough with myself. It might help me run the race and fight the fight a little bit. Give yourself a black eye if you have to propel and motivate living for Christ. Then it says at the end of verse, and I'll bring it, said I'll keep under my body, and I'll bring it into subjection. Oh, what a word. It uses the word doulos, slave. And it uses the little verb ago, A-G-O, which means to lead. And this is exactly, I bring it into subjection. He says, I'll take my body. It's a word they use for prisoners of war. He said, if my body don't obey what God said to do, I'll give it a black eye. Parallel thought. I'll put my body under arrest. I'll put chains around my body the way a conqueror does the prisoners of war. And I'll drag it. I'll pull it. Amen. I'll tug it. I wish you could see the way you're looking at me. Paul, you're going to church. Whether you want to go to church or not, get yourself in here. Isn't that something? All right, evangelist. You're going to camp meeting. Whether you want to go to camp meeting or not, get over here. That's the literal intent of the word that is used here. Could I say this so I can finish up? Sounds like we're too easy on ourselves. Sound like we let ourselves off the hook. Is there anybody here tonight who'd be willing to run the race? Who'd be willing to fight the fight? Who'd be willing to do what God says do and do it to the best of your ability? Let's close. Keep under my body and I bring it to subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. When I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I want to add something here. By the moderator, am I okay on time? Can I stick something in here that'll take about 4 minutes? I'm going to anyway. We just well agree. He said, I've got a fear. And the fear is after I have preached to others, I myself should become a Catholic. If you were to ask me 4 or 5 years ago, did Paul worry about anything? I'd have said, no. Paul got any apprehensions? Does Paul fret? I'd say nothing upset Paul. He's not overly, be careful for nothing, but everything but prayer. But Paul just let it out of his heart. He said, there's one thing I'm scared to death of. There's one thing that bothers me. He says, after I've preached to those God's allowed me to minister to and to serve, he said, I don't want myself to be a, if you'll amen it, castaway.
Amen.
I don't want to be a castaway. Does that mean he's scared he's going to lose his salvation? Let me make this clear. That's not what it means.
Amen.
Paul believed nothing could separate him from the love of God. What does it mean to be a castaway? Where I ask for 4 minutes is this. Lest after I've preached to others, I should become a castaway. And I want to say something to the preachers. 4 minutes worth. Somebody wants to time it and throw a handkerchief. It'll be all right. 4 minutes. I think I can do it. The word, the verb is keruso. Every preacher knows it. The noun is kerux. K-E-R-U-X. And this is all it means. This is anticlimactic, so it's all it means. It means, I hope you'll smile, this is what your preacher is, a forerunner of the king.
Amen.
A king never went anywhere in Middle History times, but he sent a forerunner ahead of him. That's what John the Baptist was to King Jesus. And what does the forerunner do? Smile. He makes announcements. Real Holy Ghost preaching's not much more than making announcements.
Amen.
You're looking skeptical. I'll make an announcement. God is one. There's none like Him. He created the world and He's absolutely almighty.
Amen.
I'll make another announcement. He has a son. His son came to earth. His name is Jesus. He's absolutely sinless. He shed His blood on the cross and He died for you and me. I'll make another announcement. You can't buy salvation. You can't earn His gift. But if you believe on Him under Holy Ghost conviction, He'll save you. Hallelujah. Announcements. And then I'll make the biggest announcement of all. He's coming back again. And you're just amening them announcements. And I love you for doing it. He makes announcements for the king. But here's what I wanted to say. And it may blow up my face. I read it just today and it was new and refreshing. Said those heralds, those preachers of the king, said, and I don't know, said they sure did treat them real good. Not as many of you smiling as I hoped. Said they took those heralds and they housed them well. Said they fed them the best food that was available. Said they like to take care of them and want to keep them as happy as they can. I really regret bringing this up, if you want to know the truth. We ought to take care of God's men.
Amen.
We ought to take care of God's men because they're making announcements for the king. But we ought to take care of God's men because they represent the king.
Amen.
Paul said, after I've been a herald for Him, after I've proclaimed the Word of God, said, I'm scared to death. I worry lest I myself should be a castaway. The word castaway, adokimos. Adokimos. Doesn't matter what it sounds like. The ah reverses it. It negates it. They call it the alpha privative. Ah millennialism believes in no millennium. Ah, dokimos, whoever it is, no dokimos. Dokimos is a word that means approved. Dokimos is a word that means this. Somebody smile. You took the test and you passed it.
Amen.
They used it of coins to tell if they were counterfeit. They used it of soil to tell if it was fertile. They used it in other areas to tell if something was real, if something was genuine. Paul said, I, after I preach to others, I want to run the race and I want to fight the fight. And I don't want it, I'll need an amen. I don't want it to end up where I wasn't real in what I did. Dokimos. I need to borrow a pen from a preacher. I know and get it back afterward.
F.B. Meyer, great British, I'm about through, great British preacher, pastored in London, roughly the same time Spurgeon was there. If you lived in that era in London, you could hear Spurgeon in the morning, F.B. Meyer in the evening, Joseph Parker not far from that, a wealth of God. Go up north and Alexander McLaren in a few years of people, oh, what England did for the cause of Christ in their day. F.B. Meyer had on his desk a fountain pen. The pen had quit working. Wouldn't hold ink anymore. It leaked. And the point of the pen was scratched in such a way that it wouldn't have written well had it held ink. The pen was an absolute failure as far as the purpose for which it was made. Are y'all still listening? But F.B. Meyer would not throw that pen away. He kept that pen on his desk week in and week out until it became years at a time. And said every morning, F.B. Meyer would pick up that pen and he would say, Lord, today I'll need an amen. Don't let me be a failure.
Amen.
Don't let me be a dokimos. Let me still hold the ink. Let me still have a point that can declare. Let me run the race. Let me fight the fight. Let me do the best I can to the glory of God for His praise. Could somebody agree with me tonight?
Amen, preacher.
Don't be a castaway. Do everything you can to please Him. Love Him with every fiber of your being. Go as far as you can in serving Him. And I promise you, He will reward you for your faithfulness.
Amen.
Let's just stand real quietly. Bow our heads. Close our eyes. The musicians, of course, will come. Brother Tim. But before any of that, as they are coming, heads bowed. Eyes closed. I know God told me to preach it tonight. I have no doubt about that. I don't know the whys. That's out of my department. But is there somebody, and they'll start playing when they're able to. Is there somebody here tonight? You'd say, Preacher Bagwell, I'd like a minute down at that altar. I'm the recipient of the grace of God. He saved me from hell. And preacher, there's just more than I can do for Him than I've been doing. Preacher, I need to get to running the race more diligently. And fighting the fight more fiercely than I ever have before. I need to do more for my Jesus. If you want to come, if you want to respond, I invite you. Nobody has to. Nobody's going to be made to feel little or insignificant if you do not come. I just believe I've preached to the cream of God's crop tonight. I believe it's in order to give you that opportunity if you so choose. Preacher, I know something I need to put on the boxing gloves and take it on. There's an issue I need to address. And I'm not going to leave it till it's laid out by the power of God. Preacher, I've not been running the race to the best of my ability. I've not been self-controlled like I should have been. There's some things the Holy Ghost has been dealing with me about and I have not responded like I should. I want to do something tonight to begin to make it right to His honor and His glory. I don't guess the preachers ought to say this, but I'm plumb proud of you. You're responding. You say, preacher, I don't know about preaching that kind of works and that kind of diligence in this day and hour. Well, then look to Calvary. Look what He did on our behalf. Paul said, you have not yet resisted unto blood,
striving against sin, but our Savior resisted unto blood. He laid down His life at the least. Would somebody need to get in Sunday school? Somebody need to get back going visiting with your preacher? Somebody need to get concerned about that lost loved one? Somebody quit tithing? Somebody about to get cold hearted? Somebody laid your Bible down, you hadn't been studying it lately? Running the race, fighting the fight. What's our number, preacher?